In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. As you are now well aware, if you weren't already, this is Transfiguration Sunday, or as we like to say in the lectionary with great fanfare, the last Sunday of Epiphany. So having heard this story of this understanding of what happened this day in our gospel lesson, it's good to know that we are actually a little bit on the other side of this, as you may have noticed. And the good news is, I intended to preach on the second letter of Peter today. So it's important that I give you this. Well, I don't know if it's important or not. I think it's important that I tell you that this letter was written sometime after all of these events. Now, all the scholars, they get to decide these sort of things. I don't know how they do it, and not particularly interested in it. But the fact of the matter is, it's understood that it's probably late first century, maybe into the second century, when this letter was written. And don't panic, but it probably wasn't Peter. It was probably someone who knew Peter. And they wrote this letter as if they were Peter and just attributed it to him. And there's a really long word, not as long as transfiguration, but much harder to pronounce for what that is, but I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to do it. But either way, that's what we're looking at. So it's important to understand that what is happening in this portion of the letter is they are attempting to tell the church that this concept of Jesus as King revealed in his fullness of his glory that we remembered this morning is still King in the fullness of his glory. Amen? So somehow in the midst of it, the church has forgotten. So this is what it says, starting at verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's pointing to two things right now. That which happened, the transfiguration God revealed in the fullness of his glory through Jesus Christ, and his promise to come again. But the church is not so sure about it, apparently, because they say, we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And the writer states, we ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So this letter is to remind the church, Jesus is the fullness of the glory of God, King of all. We've seen it. We've had evidence. And by the way, he is going to reign, but not yet. We're still waiting. So I'm working off the kind of a bit of an assumption that this letter was written to the church because they forgot that Jesus was coming back. And I wonder sometimes, I don't have to wonder, I know sometimes I forget. And as I was thinking about this, I was reflecting on this wonderful process I've been in lately. I got new hearing aids. Now, yeah, is that my wife? Yeah. Lord Almighty. Here's the thing. When you get new hearing aids, if you've never done it, when you first get them, you don't know what you didn't hear. It's worse. Your brain doesn't know what you didn't hear. So when they give them to you, it's too much. You hear all kinds of things you don't care about, and your brain can't stop telling you that it hears them. It takes a lot of work to get hearing aids tuned in. As I stand here with you right now, my audiologist is telling me you're at about 80%. Of what a normal hearing person hears, I only hear 80% with my hearing aids. Not because she can't make it happen, but I can't take it. That's reality. You just can't take it. In fact, it is so bad, I would guess, and I don't know for sure, but only because I know other men who have gotten hearing aids, I would bet 70% of men who get hearing aids within a month or so put them in a drawer and never touch them again. Right? Because it's too much. The only way you can make them work is you have to make them work. I am so close to my audiologist right now. We know each other well. If I ran into her on the street, I would know to ask about her grandchildren. She would know to ask about mine. I know that she has horses. I know she lives out east. I know all sorts of things about my audiologist, and she knows them about me. Why? Because we have spent hours together getting my hearing aids tuned in to where I can hear what I need to hear and not be distracted by the things that I'm not understanding why I'm hearing them. It is so bad, I don't know how many times I've turned to my wife in the last few weeks and looked at her and said, do you hear that? And she's like, of course I hear that. I'm like, why would anybody want to hear that? I hear everything. And then, but I don't, I only hear 80%. But some of the noises are just so that they drown out everything else around me. And that's one of the reasons people don't stick with them. What they don't know is if you keep going back and identify those noises, they can back those out so you can still hear. So when somebody, before my last visit, if you were moving pots and pans or shaking utensils, and she actually does this in a cup in the office, all I could hear is that. And I can't hear anything else, even if somebody's talking, because it's just as loud as the voice, and it actually drowns out the voice because my brain can't hear or hasn't been used to hearing. Too much noise makes it hard to hear. Now, I know this is a wonderful public service announcement. Ladies, if your husband has put his hearing aids in the drawer, get them out. If his audiologist isn't willing to help, get a new one. But it's not just a public service announcement, brothers and sisters. The church was given this letter then and now as a reminder that that which God has promised, that which has been revealed, Jesus in the fullness of his majesty as the King of all, is still King of all. Amen? And although this time in which he has promised to come and reign has not yet come, it is still coming. Still. But I think in the midst of our lives, the noise might be too much for us. It might be too much. And we get focused on the noise and not on the promises of God. The world is in distress. This is not news, is it? Has anybody lived in a time when this world was not broken and in distress? Not yet, but we will. So what do we do when we recognize the world is in chaos and distress and what concerns us? We turn on the news. I mean, what else would you do? I mean, if it's that bad, I better see how bad it is. It's like we can't help ourselves. I would say maybe we should not turn on the news, and maybe we should get to our knees and listen to the word of God that we can find the hope and remember that he is still king. Amen? As revealed to us today in the gospel, he is the fullness of all of these things still today. We can be reminded, but the noise is so loud. And the brokenness in the world and the struggles in ourselves are sometimes so deep. Even though they're not really who we are, our brains and our hearts are so trained to hear them and listen to them, we can't hear the truth about the world that he's created, and sometimes we can't even hear the truth about ourselves, who God created us to be. We believe the world. And I have to be honest with you, there are times in my work and ministry that I have to walk so deeply in those times with other people, I feel like we're losing. It's too much sometimes. It's painful. It's painful to see. It's painful to walk in. And I have brothers and sisters in ministry that will sometimes walk away when it gets too much. And I understand. It hurts. It hurts to walk together sometimes, doesn't it? To see someone else's pain and sorrow and brokenness and to walk in it with them. Sometimes the noise that it makes is so loud because sometimes it reminds us of our own brokenness. We just have to turn away and we can't take it. And I'd say to you, brothers and sisters, that happens for one reason and one reason only. Our spiritual ears are not tuned properly. If we can get our ears tuned properly to hearing the voice of God and the word of God, we can walk through fire, amen? But sometimes we forget because it still feels like it's burning. And I've seen some tragedy, and I know you have too. And I've had moments when I've looked at my wife and she says, "How are you doing?" And I say, I feel like I'm losing to the world. But we're not. We're not. We lose to the world and the evil within it when we focus just on that. When we focus on the truth, we can stand and we can move. It's hard. It gets to all of us. It gets to me. And there's times when it's good to have the Word of God, to have letters that were written to the church when we were struggling with the very same things we struggle with, forgetting that the presence of God is still and real through the power of the Holy Spirit, and He will. No matter how bad or ugly this world may look to us, no matter how far we think it may go, the one thing will never change. It's His. It is His now, and it will be His forever. And the time will come when Jesus, revealed to us this day in Scripture as King, will reign. Amen? If, brothers and sisters, you cannot hear that and you are not focused on that and you are being brought down by the things in this world and the things going on around you and the things within you, get your spiritual ears tuned. Draw closer to your spiritual audiologist. His words are right here. Amen.